This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. We are back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday morning. And we certainly missed you yesterday. We saw your nice messages and got text messages. Where are you guys? Well, we were off. It was a company holiday. They wanted us to stay home and respect the troops. And that's exactly what we did yesterday. Respecting veterans is really what we do best here on Ben and Woods, if I had to be honest with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you? I didn't miss anybody yesterday. I had a great time sleeping in.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Enjoying my day off.
It was, well, mine was a little different, but Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. You know what I respect the most about our veterans is the knowledge that it is really something I don't think I could do at all.
And could have never done.
Never done. Mm-mm. It's just not in me to like serve that way in the military. I just could not. I know everyone says, hey, you know, World War III comes around, push comes to shove, everyone could do it. I don't know that I have it in me, and I respect the heck out of the people who can do that and choose that as their career, as their path, that they, you know, want to live that life of service to their country, and I do appreciate it greatly. I mean, not just on Veterans Day, but all year long, knowing that, just not me.
Yeah, I tried to do it. I was a little bit lost, and I went and I wanted to enlist in the Navy. My grandfather was in the Navy, but I had been in some legal scrapes, and they were not going to let me in. And I often think about how my life would have been different had I not gotten into those legal scrapes and had actually enlisted in the Navy.
So they thought you might be a security risk.
No question. There's no question.
Why the Navy and not perhaps one of the other branches of the military?
Because my grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah, my papa Parker was in the Navy, and I thought, this is what I want to do. And, you know, like he would always talk about being on the boats and the ships and everything, and I liked the water. So I thought, I don't know. Can I be really honest? I thought it was the easiest branch.
Really?
I did. If I'm going to be
honest. What is the easiest branch? So I thought maybe it was the Air Force, but I don't.
See, I don't really like planes and
okay,
stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought.
I could do planes.
I actually thought if I'm going to do it, I thought it was. It
feels like Marines, yeah, maybe the hardest,
and then Army.
I mean,
for me,
see, again, I don't
now listen.
Know,
this was
I don't
my,
know any of this.
This
but.
Was my 18-year-old brain looking at my options and going,
Coast Guard, maybe.
Maybe. But I don't know. All I knew is Army looked really hard. Marines, come on, bro.
Personally, I think they're all extremely difficult.
Well, of course.
As do I
think you guys are very disrespectful to anybody that's ever been in the Air Force
or
Coast Guard.
I'm just talking through this here.
Again, this is all from the place knowing that I couldn't do it, and I just respect the heck out of those people that can, the men and women who actually do that is pretty amazing in my mind.
Eric says none of the services are easier than the other. It was more about like basic training and stuff is where my head was at. That's just what I thought, all right? Again, you know how I'm wired. Somebody probably told me, oh, yeah, I did the Navy. It was awesome. I saw the world, you know, whatever. Okay, great, I'm in. But anyway, I didn't get, it didn't end up happening, but I am so appreciative to all of those. Tyler. Happy Veterans Day from Odyssey. Here's the military branch we think is the weakest. Now you're putting words in our mouth.
Didn't say that.
You're
you
taking
guys are monsters.
You're taking us out of context. Oh, crap. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect because, again, I just knew, man, you are not cut out for that. You're just not good enough. You're
that's
not,
like saying, like, which NFL team would be the easiest,
the easiest to
play
probably
for. The Carolina Panthers.
But that's not true.
I mean, it still would be extremely hard to make and play for the Carolina Panthers. I get it. They're not, they're not one of the better teams, yet it would still be very hard to get there.
So the military is just one big game.
Ben and I just digging this. Anyway.
Unbelievable.
So that was our Veterans Day talk, but we do appreciate the veterans out there very, very much. Thank you so much. Obviously living in such a military town. My grandfather in the Navy was stationed here in San Diego. It's where my mother was born, so there was definitely some allure there for me as far as the Navy goes. I liked the Navy uniforms. I thought they looked pretty cool, and then years later, I'm watching I'm watching A Few Good Men, right? And homeboy says to Tom Cruise, oh, no, we like you Navy boys. Anytime there's a fight, you guys always give us a ride. And I went, oh, my God, that would have destroyed me if I was in the Navy at the time. So, listen, things always work out the way they're supposed to. We're meant to be here trying to entertain you guys on a Tuesday morning, digging ourselves in a big hole. How was the weekend for you, Benjamin?
It was good. Relaxing. I actually cracked open a book and almost like read an entire book over the weekend, which I haven't done in a long time.
What book?
It was Alan Shipnuck's Live and Let Die book.
How is it?
The drama between the Live Tour. Well, for someone who loves golf like I do, it's fantastic. Well, he's such a great writer.
Shipnuck is one of the best writers going. I read his Phil Mickelson book. It's incredible. He's a brilliant writer. Brilliant writer. And it tells you like everything that went
really,
on between the two.
Really lays it all out. And even someone who has followed that story, I have such a better understanding of all of it now.
That's rad. I would like to read it.
Really, just the gnarliness on both sides. I mean, Liv is as bad or worse than you think it is,
yeah.
But the PGA Tour
is no better.
Is no giant hero in this story either. But it was fascinating, and it was nice to just spend some time over the weekend, relaxing on the couch and reading a good book.
I got to go out Saturday night and howl at the moon a little bit, and it had been a while since I got to do that, and it was fun. I had a great time in it. Next morning, not so great. I'm just tough. It's tough because I don't do the slow ramp up. You know, 0 to like 75. I just go from 0. Now I'm going 75. So, but I was home early. I was home by like 10. But I had to get up and go coach. I mean, get up and go coach. The game was at 12:30. And let me tell you, it was still a bit of a struggle to get out there to shower. You know, you had to brush your teeth.
This is like a 2 or 3 times a year thing for you now. That's about it.
Yeah, this is about 2 to 3 times where I actually, it's rare that I even want to go out. But it was my buddy Sam, our buddy Sammy's birthday. It's actually this coming week. And so I said, yeah, man, I'll come out and meet you for a few. Went out to North Park, had a great time. I hadn't been back to my old stomping grounds in a long time out in North Park. So went and crushed it pretty good. Had a great time and woke up. And then had to go coach Little League and lead some young men into another crushing defeat. But the field was probably... Once you parked the car in the blazing sun at 12:30 p.m., I'd say the field was a good, solid half-mile walk. So I'm lugging all my gear out there. I'm like, all right, man, just a couple hours, we'll get through this. Get these kids dialed in. Of course, we're playing the team with the over-exuberant team mom. And over-exuberant team mom has a massive speaker. Not like the little... cylinder one,
sure. The wireless speaker, the big boombox,
the big
style
boombox,
wireless speakers,
and she's getting it all dialed in for the game. You know, about 30 minutes before the game, and she's playing music from it, but it was only one song, and it was cold beer on a Friday night, chicken fried, and my head feels right. No, 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 over and over and over and over
Zach
and
Brown
over
head,
yeah. And over and over and over and over and over.
What, just like,
on repeat.
She didn't move on to a different song.
No. It was just chicken fried.
I thought I assumed that it just felt like the song took forever to play.
No.
No, it actually repeated.
It was just
on repeat.
Chicken fry. Cold beer on a fry. I'm like, all right, try to get two here. Keep your gloves down. As loud as it could be. And my head is just going.
Why would you ever repeat a song?
I don't know.
I mean, even a song I love. You know me. I will repeat a song twice, maybe a year.
Twice a year.
That's it.
I can't wait for your Spotify
over and
raft.
Over
I can't wait for your Spotify raft again, by the way. But my head was like, don't, for and just over. It just, she kept playing it. And then the game started, and they had the full on, now batting, number 22, Paul Reindel. They had some announcer guy. It was serious. It was a serious thing. And you know, the way I looked at it is, hey bud, you're the one that decided to go out and have too many last night, time to pay the piper. So pay the piper I did.
Sounds like everyone was kind of paying the piper
I think everyone suffered a little bit for that one. And then yesterday on Veterans Day, had all the neighborhood kids come down. We played football, we played home run derby,
cold beer on Friday night.
We played basketball, and then I took them all to In-N-Out.
I saw that. You were outnumbered. Just you by yourself.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
How many kids did you have with
four.
You?
Four. It was so many.
One on four, all around, you know, 4 to 6 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, all around 4 to 6 years old.
Did you get looks at In-N-Out? Like,
no. One lady said,
sympathy?
One lady said, you're doing a great job. And I said, I've bit off more than I can chew.
And a little bit of chicken fried.
I almost just said the F word live on the radio. I will have PTSD.
Go beer on a Friday night.
God, it didn't stop. It just went over and over and over and over.
Go beer on a Friday night.
It's funny because in our last show, I believe you spoke a lot about Brianna chicken fry.
Yeah. I'll say this right now. Little League parents, you're doing too much. It's too much.
Yep.
It's too much. The announcements, the walk-up songs, it's all too much.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Let's do less. They're six.
If you do that the whole show, Pauly, we will actually walk out. We're not going to make it.
I think you will lose me today.
We actually could probably lose
me. A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Like, gone in one day.
My wife's telling me to be careful.
Years of building up the tier one.
No, well, I'm a chicken fry.
All lost in one segment.
Do less. Do less. Do less. Do less. Do less.
Oh, man.
That's my message.
We have a lot to get to.
Orthodox Evan said, should we do military branch rankings every offseason? All right. Ben and Woods, power military rankings. Power rankings. This killed me. Sorry.
Janine says, isn't that the guy who sings that? Isn't he a horrible person?
No, he's actually a good guy.
This is Zach Brown, who sings Chicken Fried. You're thinking of Zach Bryan, who dated Chicken Fried.
Oh, and you know what happened to me? I got a little grief. So I didn't finish the podcast. Well, I took Ambien, listened to her side of the story, like the beginning part when they broke up. And I was like, oh, all right, so you broke up. You broke up. I didn't get to the end, though, Pauly, where apparently he would take her phone and break it and, like, was really, like, yeah, abusive. So there you go. I walk it back that, oh, it's just a normal breakup between two people. Because I didn't finish the very end.
I don't think normal breakups have $12 million NDAs.
So that's the other thing. It's like, buddy, somebody's like, Woodsy, the guy's a $12 million NDA. And I'm like, that's true. What would my NDA be worth to Hannah? Like $70. Like, all right, if you want to rap me out about this, this, and this, go ahead. But $12 million bucks.
You already D everything on the radio.
That's true. That's true. I disclose it. So, yeah, man. So, yeah. Janine says she's confused. I was too. Zach Brown's a good person. Zach Brown, not.
I mean, you don't know Zach Brown's a good person, but I don't think you've heard as much about Zach Brown.
He's never been in trouble.
I don't think I've ever heard him in any controversy.
He's like you can't judge a book by its cover, but he's like a seemingly really good guy.
Like a good dude.
Like a good dude.
Just
the other one, not so much.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
Over and over and over. What can make your hangover worse than that?
Do you think if you were ever in the same room as Zach Brown, who sings that song,
mm-hmm.
maybe had a few pops.
Yeah, would I say something?
No. Oh. You just pulled him aside and be like, hey, man, tell me how you really feel about chicken fry.
He hates it,
I'm
sure.
He probably hates it, right?
Yeah.
And we've had this discussion before with almost every band, every artist. You got that one song that you probably hate, but there's no way he can ever play a show and not play
that
song.
It's the best part. If you've never seen the Eagles documentary, I highly recommend it. It is truly amazing, and it's about 4 hours. But there's a time when Timothy, one of the guys, Meisner, does not want to sing. I can't tell you why. He doesn't want to sing it anymore.
It's a great song.
Great song. But he doesn't want to do it. And Glenn Frey's like, are you out of your mind? I got to get up there every night and sing Take It Easy. Every single night I got to go, I've been running down the road. I don't want to sing it. I'm tired of singing it. They paid to hear me sing it. You're going to get your ass out there and you're going to sing it. Period. It's so good, man.
We feel a little similarly about Don't Do This.
That's true. That's true. People pay for Don't Do This. Well, exactly. Ours is free. Ours is free. Nickel.
Yeah, but every time we think about getting rid of it, it's like, no, we love Don't Do This.
Can't get rid of it.
What is that?
That's more.
Same.
Was
that more of the song?
God, I feel like I missed that part. Maybe she was just doing the chorus on a loop the whole time. That's what I feel like. Oh, man. So anyway, all right, we got a lot to get to.
We do have a lot to get to.
Massive news broke right after the show.
I would say a couple of pieces of massive news this weekend about your San Diego Padres. We will get to all of it. Set the menu on a Tuesday morning. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. It's great to have you all back. All the tier ones with Paulie and Woods. I'm Ben. Kelly's got traffic and our week starting on a Tuesday here on 97.3 The Fan. Not to overhype things, but our first topic of the morning, I think, might be the biggest baseball story this decade, possibly.
I love Ruben Niebla, too.
Yeah, I do, too, but that's not the story I am talking
Congratulations, Jackson Merrill.
It's also a big one, but to me, the Roky Sasaki news, which we will discuss this morning, the Japanese pitcher who is going to be posted and going to come over to the United States and pick one of 30 teams to join.
Sure.
Has the potential to reshape rivalries and championships.
Right, right.
Do you not agree with that?
No.
You don't?
No. You know where he's going.
Well, if he goes there, it's also the biggest story probably of the decade. One way or another, this is huge news.
It's a much, 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 much bigger story if he goes anywhere but L.A. If he goes to L.A., it's... Here we go again. If he doesn't, then it's... If Roky Sasaki says, I want to be a Pirate and pitch with Jared Rodriguez and Paul Skeens for the next decade, then it's the biggest story in baseball. If he goes to the Dodgers, it's ho-hum. The Dodgers get a fifth starter. That's it.
Makes them that much tougher to beat for the next World Series.
Absolutely.
Though. I mean, absolutely. Already the biggest favorites. They become...
Jared Jones, sorry, not Jared Rodriguez.
Overwhelming favorites if they get Roky Sasaki.
Yeah.
If he's anything, I mean, obviously he may not be what people expect him to be, but...
Looks pretty good from
given,
what I've seen.
Given the hype, given the potential and promise, and given the lack of cost that, you know, he'll take over the next 6 years, he's the most transformative free agent. Juan Soto is the secondary prize.
Bro, you're not
kidding. This offseason. I firmly believe that now.
Because you get Juan Soto, yeah, that's rad. But he's going to cost you $60 million a year. Roky Sasaki's going to cost you like $400,000 a year, and he's going to go out and potentially be, you know, a Cy Young candidate before he grabs a ball. I mean, he's got that kind of stuff. So, yeah, man, it's a cost thing. It is a control thing. And again, you know, Juan Soto, with the years that go by, I love Juan Soto. My God, watching him hit in the playoffs it's a revelation. I mean, truly, there's really nobody that does it like he does. But at some point, they're going to have to figure out, man, we can't keep running him out. Like, are we going to end up paying $60 million for a designated hitter, you know, in let's call it 4 or 5 years, maybe move him to first base or something? I don't know. But as it stands now, I don't think he can play 160 games in the outfield for another 14 years, like the deal he's going to sign. So Roky Sasaki, Ben, coming over and being very beyond reasonable. No, let's call it what it is. Dirt ass cheap for 5 to 6 years. That's pretty good business if you can get it.
So we will we'll talk about Roky Sasaki. We'll also talk to someone who knows more about Roky Sasaki than we do. J.J. Cooper from Baseball America is going to join us at 7:35. Again,
J.J.'s rad.
I'm not trying to hype this story up. This decision will be the most important decision in baseball this offseason.
Yep.
For those reasons that you just indicated. Yes, Juan Soto is going to be an impact player wherever he goes.
Yes.
But at $600 to $700 million, he's also going to be a major financial drain, even on the Yankees
takes
or Dodgers. Takes a big bite out of whatever team he goes to. Roky Sasaki takes no bite.
A nibble, just a little.
Any team, just a tiny little nibble.
Little nibble.
Like, with potentially a huge
it's
impact.
Like signing a guy off the street, essentially. I mean,
like,
literally.
John
like,
Fisher and the Athletics, they aren't even calling Scott Boras about Juan Soto.
Right, no. But if Roky Sasaki said.
But every team is in on Roky Sasaki.
I want to pitch for the Ath. I want to be an Ath. Then he could.
As a kid, I grew up about Sacramento.
Yeah.
I was just dreaming about Sacramento.
I want to play on a hot-ass turf field and maybe move to Vegas one day. And I want to do it for a pittance. That's what I want to do. He has that opportunity. So any and all teams with international...
Like the Rockies, they're going to be
they're in
interested
it.
Everybody, they can afford him.
Everybody. I mean, it's the dream. It's the absolute dream scenario. But I do believe that. Honestly, if he goes to any other team but L.A., It's a bigger story. If he goes to L.A., it's, all right, L.A. got themselves another one. And make no mistake, that cat's going to be probably, if everyone's healthy, he's like their third or fourth starter. So have fun.
So we'll talk about that baseball news as well.
He's an ace on 27 other teams.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, no, one,
like
he's
the
a
number one,
one
ace.
Yes, yes, correct.
And he's only 23.
23.
So, I mean, huge, huge potential here to reshape the offseason of Major League Baseball.
I'm not above begging.
I see. Now here's the question: like what? But what does it look like? How do you convince him?
What does he need
to sign?
I'll give him anything he wants.
But you can't. It can't be money,
Taylor. I'll give him Taylor. Just turned four. A lot of potential. I'll give him Taylor today on loan. Seriously, like what is it? What would it take? I mean, I'm bracing myself, and I see all the reports that came out over the weekend. That now they're doing handicaps on it and percentages of where he's going to go. And listen, history has not been kind to us in this respect. So I can't let myself get excited about it. Roki watches. It may kill me. You know, it may kill all of us as we sit and bite our fingernails and
hope. When they get Roki after signing Juan Soto.
Yeah. That's the one where you're like, that's it for us. All right. We are pivoting to
everybody's
hockey.
Hoping to get one for each, and they're like, we'll just take them both.
Yeah, we got them both.
So we'll talk about that big story. I did have the Ruben Niebla news that broke just moments after our show on Friday. So it feels like old news, yep. But we can certainly talk about what is a important rehire for the San Diego Padres. Also, the nominations are out for the Baseball Writers Association of the Year Awards at the to be announced next week. And two Padres, of course, getting nominated. We'll talk about Mike Schilt and Jackson Merrill a little bit later. And, of course, there was a bunch of football over the weekend, as well as college basketball that we can discuss as well. Aztecs have their second game of the season tonight. A bit of an injury concern.
Oh, I was bummed to see
for
this.
San Diego State as well. We can discuss that a little bit later on in the program. Our usual segment as well. Take on Woods, chance to win a trip to Las Vegas at 7:10 this morning. Don't do this at 7:20 in our round of report in our 9 o'clock hour. And that is the menu for today's program. But when we come back, I think the biggest story of the baseball offseason now is Roki Sasaki, and the Padres, make no mistake, will be in the center of these discussions. I don't think they're the favorites, but they are absolutely the team that the favorites are going to be the most worried about in the Roki Sasaki pursuit. We will talk about it when we come back.
You're a sweet kid, man.
With Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Sweet angel.
Make no mistake, the pursuit of Roki Sasaki is not about to get underway, as many has framed it over the weekend. It started years ago.
Yeah.
The Padres have been preparing for this for a while, as have other teams, knowing that if this pitcher comes over before he is 25 years old, there's no money that can convince him to sign with a team. It is simply, that's like old school college recruiting, essentially.
Yeah.
Here's our campus. Here's our coaching staff. Here's our facilities. You know, this is why, here's our city. Here's why you would love to play for our team. And it's about convincing what could be, you know, very quickly a top pitcher in Major League Baseball, why your organization is going to be the best spot for him for, you know, possibly at least the next 6 years, if not longer.
Yeah, for sure. And again, going back over the weekend and reading all the pieces. Now, it's the usual suspects. It's Bob Nightingale. It's John Heyman. And they're doing everything they can to steer the public perception that Roki Sasaki is pretty much already in Dodger blue. I mean, they're handicapping the Padres with maybe a 10% chance as the second highest team with a chance. And then it was basically 85%. Dodgers, 10% Padres, 5% the field. So any other team.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what the general consensus is, that he will be a Dodger. And I would assume, based on the relationship that he has with Yamamoto, based on the relationship that he has with Shohei Ohtani, and, you know, talking to them, learning them, he does have a mentor here in Yu Darvish. My guess, our guess has always been that was probably the reason for a Yu Darvish extension. Now, Yu Darvish pitched outstanding for the San Diego Padres last year. He was outstanding. I mean, and especially in the biggest game of the year, he was phenomenal. He gave up two solo home runs. He absolutely did his job. Yu Darvish is still a valuable, valuable piece of this rotation, but this is where you really need Yu Darvish to shine and tell this young man, hey, man, you can come to San Diego. You're going to slot right in, buddy. You're going to be number one, number two in this rotation, ASAP.
We'll get more specifics on Sasaki, his game, from someone who knows a little bit more than we do. J.J. Cooper from Baseball America.
Been covering him a long time.
Is going to join us in about an hour. But I want to talk about, first of all, how is this process going to work?
Yeah.
We know some of those details. We don't know others, but we can discuss that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So one of the first questions you ask about Roki Sasaki is, why is he coming over to the United States now? If he had waited just a couple of more years, he could have done the same thing that Yoshinobu Yamamoto did, who signed, remember, a $325 million deal with the Dodgers. His team gets a big chunk, like a fee, a posting fee. I think it was about $60 million for his team. But because Roki is just 23 and not 25, the rules state that he is only allowed to sign a minor league contract and is only able to draw from the international bonus pool, which is anywhere between $5 and $7 million at most total that he can sign. So why would anyone give up potentially hundreds of millions of dollars and just not wait a couple of years to sign? There is speculation, but Sasaki has given no specific answer to that. Some of the speculation is this is his dream. He wants to get over here and start competing as fast as possible. When it comes to legacy, two lost years that you could be pitching in Major League Baseball, long-term records, things that you could accomplish. You can't amass the numbers that you could if you pitch for several years in Japan, put the wear and tear on your arm there, and then come over here. He's already pitched a few years in Japan. He wants to get over here as soon as possible. He's willing to give up some money to do that. He also knows that if he comes over now, does his 6 years, he'll be hitting free agency again at age 29,
yep,
which is a prime time to do it, as opposed to in your 30s when you might not cash in as big. We saw Shohei Ohtani come this same route over to the Los Angeles Angels, and of course, he's done okay financially for himself. Did not end up probably regretting his decision to come over early. So there is a precedent for big Japanese stars to come over before the posting age of 25.
Yeah, and based on the kind of player he is, the stuff that he has is electric. I mean, it is next level type stuff. Let's see. He did have they call it an injury riddled season. Now, he had a strained oblique and some shoulder fatigue, threw 110 innings, 10-5 with a 2.35 ERA, struck out 129 hitters, throws a 102 mile an hour heater with a absolutely disgusting fall off the table splitty and a really nasty slider.
Which Yu Darvish taught him.
He's never pitched more than 129 and a third innings in a season, but when healthy, very, very dominant. So I don't look.
He once pitched like two perfect games in a row.
Yeah.
In Japan.
For what you're potentially going to pay him, or I guess not pay him, fine by me. Come give me 129 and a third of the greatest innings that you've got in you, including the postseason. And,
Well, like with any 23-year-old, any organization should be somewhat careful.
Yeah, they're going to be careful.
With innings. And yeah, you're not going to get 200 innings out of him next season. But again, that you'll have him for the next 6 years if you sign him. Now, how does the posting system work? Apparently, over the next several weeks, they go through the paperwork, the process of posting him. Once that is done, there is a 45-day window in which teams can negotiate and talk to Roki Sasaki and try to reach terms of a deal. The international signing bonus pool ends on December 15th. A new pool opens on January 15th. It would be in the best interest of both the Padres and probably of Sasaki as well to make sure that he doesn't post until after December 1st to make sure that that 45-day window includes January 15th, and that will open up a new bonus pool for every team.
Smart.
That most of them have spent most of their money. The Dodgers apparently have the most left. It's only a couple of million. You could definitely get more if you wait until January 15th to sign. So I would fully expect wherever he goes, probably won't happen until January 15th. Even if he's made that decision, nothing should be official until then. So this is a story for the next 2 months that we'll be following very closely in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, which is, you know, those are the kind of stories that make you insane. But it's nice to know. I mean, the new bonus pool money opens up on the 15th. You'd be actually not smart at all to sign anything before then. And listen, I'm sure there are all sorts of verbal, you know, this could go so many different ways. And we'll ask J.J. Cooper about it coming up at 7:35. But listen, I mean, for me, the one thing that gave me a shred of hope was that we have, in my opinion, and in the opinion of every pitcher that's ever pitched under him, we have the greatest pitching coach on the planet, and we have him re-upped here for the next few years in Ruben Niebla, which, of course, was news that broke at about 10:03 on Friday as we were walking out the doors in my car, and I got the notie that said, oh, Ruben Niebla's re-upped with the Padres. Now, we don't have the terms. We have the years?
Three.
Three-year deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so look, man, there's something to be said for having a guy like Ruben that has such high marks and high praise. Now, look at myself talking myself into this right now, which I'm going to do a lot over the next 6 weeks or so. And then I'm going to go, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, maybe there's a shred. Nah, maybe not. This is a different type of free agent, man. This is a different type. This is not one where you say, come on, guys, it's just money. Now it is like you got to put your best foot forward. And if you don't get him, you know what that means? You didn't close. That's what it means. You had a chance to close, and you did not close.
You're a contender. You have the greatest pitching coach.
Right.
You have this guy, one of this guy's idols.
Yes.
That he'll be pitching alongside. Like, you live in San Diego.
Right.
I mean, you have so much going
for you. So much going for you.
And that's
It's not going to boil down to, hey, they money whipped me, man. There was nothing I could do. Of course I'm going to sign a deal for $40 million.
For him.
Right.
I mean, there's a spot. It's such a perfect fit. And yes, I also feel like the Padres are a distant second as far as the front runners go. But man, from the Padres' perspective, like, you're a contender. You are all in to win in 2025 like you were in 2024.
Yep.
You lost Joe Musgrove, a top of the rotation ace, out for the year, and you have budgetary restrictions.
Correct.
This is the perfect cure-all
now,
for an offseason.
Now, let's play the cons, right? What would be the cons for Roky Sasaki?
Cons for signing with the Dodgers?
No,
or
signing
the
for the Padres.
It's a smaller market. So if you're trying to make up some of the money that you're not going to be earning through endorsements, there's probably a slight, you know, a less opportunity to do so. Now in Los Angeles, Shohei Ohtani has taken all the oxygen.
Correct.
You know, probably all the way from Los Angeles to Tokyo when it comes to the major endorsements. And you'll be competing against him and Yamamoto when it comes to trying to have some of the attention and, you know, some of those dollars that come in. So I think there's both an advantage and a disadvantage to signing with the LA Dodgers. With the Padres, they tick a lot of boxes. You know, not only is your mentor, Yu Darvish, a pitcher there, Hideo Nomo works in the Padres front office, probably two of the most, if not the most respected pitchers in Japanese history are part of the Padres organization. You play in a pitcher's park. You play in front of sold-out crowds every night now. The atmosphere is great. San Diego receives very high marks, obviously, as a place to play around baseball. You're not going to hear pretty much a bad thing from anyone in baseball about going to play for the Padres at this point. I think ultimately what it comes down to is the personality of Sasaki and what he really wants to do. If you could join the Dodgers, obviously you are set up to win multiple World Series titles over the next few years. You may or may not do it, but you're absolutely set up to do that. But you're also not the guy who brings them that title. They've already won one. They already have bigger stars than you on their team. You're a big, important role piece on the Dodgers. If you sign with the Padres or any other team, you can be the guy who brings them that title, especially for the Padres, brings them their first title, helps slay the biggest Japanese stars in Shohei Ohtani and, you know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and be that guy that takes them on head to head. That's kind of a personality thing.
Sure.
Do you want to be the joiner, or do you want to be the rival to the biggest Japanese stars? And I don't know where his head's at on that.
But I don't know who he is.
To me, if he wants to be a rival, clearly the Padres are in the absolution for Roky Sasaki to come over and go, hey, I want to compete against the best in the world. Who's the best? Shohei Ohtani is the best, and I want to compete against him in the same division.
I want to beat Yamamoto.
Play him every day. I want to knock off the champs and see if we can bring a title to San Diego.
Yeah, if he decides to be our version of what Curt Schilling was to the Red Sox, if you watch the comeback, he wanted to be a New York Yankee, and Theo and Jed Hoyer went and closed him and said, no, be the guy, be the guy that helps us break the curse of 1918. Be that guy. And Curt found a lot of resolve in that. Curt said, that actually sounds better than just being the, you know, second or third starter on the New York Yankees, where a lot of guys just go to win championships. So it depends on the personality. Now, if he comes here, I will laud him forever. If he goes there, I will rip him forever. So that's just the way that it goes.
Another pro and con. Yeah. Now, you know, maybe he's always dreamt of pitching for the Yankees or the Cubs.
Yeah, right.
We don't know.
We have no idea.
You know, kind of what's in his heart and, you know, where he wants to be. And again, every single team has a chance. You know, Ohtani signed with the Dodgers. Darvish signed with the Rangers when he came. Ohtani signed with the Angels.
Yeah.
Darvish signed with the Rangers when he came over. Seiya Suzuki signed with the Cubs. There has been different reasons that different Japanese players have signed with teams, and it's not always about money.
Sure.
They all have their own, you know, thoughts on what they want. I just think the Padres are positioned quite well in this derby, in this sweepstakes that will go on for the next couple of months.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll see how that shakes out. It's really just going to boil down to the player and where he's most comfortable. And one thing I do know about San Diego is that we will make him very, very comfortable if he's here. And I think you will be able to speak to that, as how well he's been treated by San Diego fans and how much respect he has for the city of San Diego and its fans as well. We would love to have Roky Sasaki here. Obviously,
talk about killing two birds with one stone.
I don't want to kill anybody.
A team that needs to replace Joe Musgrove next season, that is trying to be a winner but financially responsible while doing so, guy scratches every itch, however you want to describe it. This is the one that you want the most this offseason.
Well, Christmas says MLB wants him in LA since they're playing in Japan next season. They've got plenty. I mean, there's no shortage. He's like the third star.
You can schedule
on the
Padres for trips to Japan every year for the next 6 years. I don't think one trip to Tokyo is going to decide everything.
Our beloved Janine, who's always the voice of levity, does say in the chat, the last guy you tried to recruit went to the Cubs. That is very, very true. That's Shoto Imanaga. And you really helped sell him on the Cubs very well. You love it here. It's great. They're great. So this is, thank you. All right, I'll come pitch here then.
So the Cubs, not the Padres?
No,
okay.
No.
All right.
Sounds good.
I get the sense that perhaps Shoto was like, oh, I really love the Cubs. I want to go there.
You could not tell a lie.
Yeah, he's not going to say, no, they're terrible. I mean, no, I like the Cubs, and if that's where you want to go.
Seiya Suzuki. Was it Seiya or was it Shoto?
I don't know.
Shoto?
They both went there.
They both went there. All right, I need you to step your game up, bro.
That's why the Cubs are definitely an intriguing candidate in this sweepstakes as well. They've landed a couple of Japanese stars before.
Get you an extra Ben and Woods shirt he can give Roky.
Oscar says, why would he compete against other Japanese players? Because that's what competitors do. That's what competitors do. That's what they do. Like, there's something in Manny that wants to compete against the best. There's something in they don't all want to join. They're not all Kevin Durant. And make no mistake, if he joins the Dodgers, he's the Kevin Durant of baseball. Anybody that joins the Dodgers right now, you're the Kevin Durant of baseball, you know? And it's probably why Dave Roberts wasn't nominated for the Manager of the Year.
Well, it's a regular season award. He was never going to get it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's a reason for that. The reason is you roll out of bed and you can win with that team. And I know he did a great job this year. I gave him a lot of credit. In the postseason, they didn't count that in. But there's a reason that you're the super team. You're a super team. So if you join a super team, that's what you are. You're another star that joined a super team. If you don't, and you stick to what is inside you, you want to beat the best, right? You want to beat the best. Not play with the best. You want to beat the best.
It's going to be very disappointing if he signs with the Dodgers. I'm going to say that right now.
Massively. We're taking the day off. I'll tell you that right now.
It's going to be really disappointing because what is already a big mountain will become even taller to climb. Yeah. If they get Sasaki, you get Sasaki, and you have somewhat leveled the playing field a little bit. Not, I mean, you'll never quite level the playing field, but you've gotten a lot closer. So, big story. That's where we wanted to start on this this short week on a Tuesday.
We got more for you.
We do have more for you. Big nominations for Padres for the awards season coming up next, as well as Take on Woods on The Fan.